You can listen to this podcast anywhere, even in the shower. From Ream, Australia's favourite hot water.
You know I love a good vending machine.
Oh, you do?
And it's the thing that got me back to Triple M. I said, before I sign, I'll need to see your vending machines.
You want it each floor.
to know if they carried all the goods required to sustain me over the course of a three-hour program. But there's a new vending machine that's up and running. It's in New York City. It's been unveiled. It's causing a bit of controversy. Natasha Belling, what do we need to know?
Yeah, this street vending machine has been unveiled, and it comes to catering specifically to drug users, offering free handy paraphernalia such as crack pipes and lip balm and also Narcan for overdoses. The available goods include, as I mentioned, Narcan, also drug test strips that can detect fentanyl, safer smoking kits complete with a heavy stem pipe.
Oh, that's good then.
A mouthpiece and lip balm.
Lip balm.
Why do they need lip balm?
Lip balm for your crackheads.
So you don't get chafed.
You get dry lips.
No, when I don't
when
know
you're,
that.
Well, when you put a pipe in your mouth, apparently you...
When you do it, you get it's just one of the side effects. You come from the leafy northern suburbs of this town.
But surely,
you don't know what it's like out there on the streets.
Moist lips are top of your agenda when you're smoking ice.
Listen,
crack lips, but are bad.
This is all for the good. Narcan, all I'm imagining... is someone dying of a drug overdose while his mate fiddles around in the room for cash. Oh, my God. Has anyone got a 20?
He's going, Steve, stop scratching and give me a note.
I can't flatten out the note. Flatten out the note. It keeps rejecting the note. Why is it rolled up? Oh, I don't know. We'll flatten it out. It won't go in. What are you doing? There's a crack pipe. You can get a pipe. Yep. Narcan. That's not going to be popular when it comes out, is it?
Oh.
Thanks a lot, mate.
Thanks, mate.
My feedback from first responders is not a popular method of bringing someone back. I'm okay with all that, as long as there's some burger rings in the corner.
Yeah.
Because to me, just to me, a vending machine is not a vending machine unless it's got a packet of burger rings. I know. I'm like a Jedi when it comes...
Stephen Hawking.
When it comes to a vending machine, I can tell you what's where. I can do it without looking.
Well, start with burger rings.
D2.
Yep. Picnic bar.
F3.
What about cherry ripe?
A1.
It is. Aero bar. You won't get this one.
D5.
Thank you.
Yes, baby! Where's my Narcan? Tick-tack.
Checking the latest online. It's Mick Talk.
This is kind of a nerd alert too, I reckon, because the nerds who queue up for iPhones, it's always staggered me. You know, we want to be the first to get it. We're going to queue up overnight. The queue goes around the block for... Oh, is that you?
No, I was just going to say...
deck chairs and everything like that.
I wouldn't line up for a new iPhone.
You wouldn't line up for a new iPhone, but when this... Apple released some new technology. The nerds come out from hiding, and they've officially revealed something new. They haven't released anything new for how long?
A long time.
I love it when you really do your research. Do you know anything about this launch?
I've done a deep dive on this because it's everywhere. So Apple's unveiled an augmented reality headset called the Apple Vision Pro. But it actually costs $3,500. So that's more than $5,000 Australian.
Wait. Well, let's see how they're promoting it.
Introducing Apple Vision Pro. The era of spatial computing is here. When you put on Apple Vision Pro, you see your world and everything in it. Your favorite apps live right in front of you. But now they're in your space. You navigate with your eyes. Simply tap to select, flick to scroll,
sight unseen,
and use your voice to dictate.
Oh my goodness.
What if you're cross-eyed?
Yeah, exactly. You're going, not compute.
So it's basically putting a headset on. They look like ski goggles, but it's like being inside your computer or your iPhone. So you control it with your eyes. Different apps.
But again,
don't ever do that again.
But again, what if you're unfortunately cross-eyed?
Well, I just did it. It's next level. Like, it's extraordinary. So you sit on your lounge and you can do, like, voice conferences.
Oh, wow.
Go to your apps, watch stuff. It's all in 3D.
Sounds like a bit bullshitty to me. They don't have a real product, so I'll put these on. Every time, you know, they're promising this kind of technology for Ever? I don't know about it. How, did Steve Jobs, did he?
He's not with us anymore.
No, but he would have had some input.
Oh, who does it?
Oh, the Apple boss.
Yeah, Cook, isn't it? Cook, Tim Cook.
See, does he do it in the black skivvy?
You'd hope so.
Barefoot.
Yeah, the evil wiggle, I used to call Steve Jobs.
Evil wiggle.
Did Steve Jobs die, did he?
I think he did, didn't he?
Yes, passed away years
cancer.
Ago.
Yeah. He did. Mm. You were on top of that story,
yeah,
weren't you?
Yeah, I'll put my Apple Vision Pro on, see if he can't appear before my eyes. Here we go. Apple are back in business. The Vision Pro, you should get one of these.
I'm going to get one for Christmas. What are they, $5,000?
Yes.
Oh, maybe I'll take a loan out.
You wait. These will be like sneakers. People will be robbed.
Robbed.
Yep.
You'll be sitting at home, Apple. Someone going, give me that.
Well, if someone's got one, give us a call. 1-333-53. We'll get involved.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Sunrise. And David Koch, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mel. Rizzo's off for the morning. You have me. You're stuck with me on this Friday.
Edelweiss.
Put the fire extinguisher down.
What's wrong with the world, Mama? People living like they ain't got no mamas.
I've decided to hang up the boots as co-host of Sunrise after nearly 21 years. It just seems right to exit stage left on Friday next week. Thank you for having me.
And there it is, the end of an era in morning TV. Welcome to the studio, David Koch.
Hey, Koch. Hey, team. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Well played, sir.
Thank you.
Your 21-year reign of terror is over on morning TV.
Who would have thought?
I know a lot of people at other networks will be relieved to hear that. How has the world changed in the 21 years? How was the world different when you started?
Okay, there was no Facebook, no Instagram, no Twitter, no iPhone.
What? Wow.
Kathleen Folbig was released from jail.
Yeah.
She went in about the same time I started.
So you're both coming out of jail. You're both out of jail at the
You need to stake in a bath there.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's incredible, isn't it? You've a large part of history and you were there
to
record it.
And it was a mistake because no one watched us at the time. We were 5% of the Today Show's audience.
Yes.
They were desperate to put someone in, and I went, okay, I'll do it for 3 months if I can be myself, because it was a straight news reading role, which, no disrespect to newsreaders, a bit boring. Said if I can be myself, and they saw a blip in the ratings. They said, would you do it full time? I said, well, I've got my own businesses and stuff like that.
Of course.
And you're not paying much money. If I get a bonus when we get to half of today's show's audience,
well
I'll
played.
Do it. And if I get another bonus when we beat them, they said no. And I went, why?
Good
and they
Lord.
Said, we don't want it to be disheartening for you because it will never happen.
Oh, wow.
And I said, I'm big enough and ugly enough to take on the challenge. I'll take it. So they reluctantly agreed.
Well, and the rest is history, of course.
The longest casual job in the world.
Fantastic. One of the big stories, when you think about those that have come across your desk, 9/11 would have been...
Yeah, just before I started,
was it?
9/11, Beaconsfield was probably the big one, most memorable. Cyclone Larry was big. Christchurch earthquake.
Of course, yes.
But then on the happier
news in there,
side, I was going to say the happier side, you know, Coldplay coming in and playing in the studio, meeting Julie Andrews for the first time.
Wow.
I'm a big Sound of Music fan.
I beg your pardon.
Oh.
Is that it? Was that your, so that's, you get starstruck?
Yeah, with Julie Andrews. Oh, my. What a dame. She's lovely. I went all jelly knee when I met Julie.
Apparently she's quite frisky. She's not as conservative. Can you speak freely on this one?
No, I didn't find that. Katy Perry was a bit frisky, certainly not Julie Andrews. I co-hosted with Katy Perry, and she was just a delight. She actually ate fruit off of the top of my bald head. So that was one of
why
the wonderful moments.
Why are you leaving?
I mean, 21 years is a little... We get up early here at Brekkie Radio. You get up probably earlier because you got to get made up, you got to get dressed.
It doesn't take long.
How does that... Over that 21 years, how have you changed your process? Because I know myself, me and Mick talk about it often, that probably going to bed early is the worst thing. I don't mind getting up early, but going to bed like at 7:30, 8 o'clock in summer when the sun's still shining, that was that's the hardest part about this gig. What about for you?
Yes, I'm have to be really disciplined, so I do go to bed at 8 o'clock, and summer is hard. Winter mornings is hard, getting up in the cold. And you can't have a late night except Thursday night, because Friday, you know, all bets are off. You get through on adrenaline. It is the best job in the world. If you love talking to people and meeting people, there is nothing better. It's the same with you guys.
Yeah. Have you had a shocker? So I'll tell you, my worst interviews, I interviewed, what's his name from the Brady Bunch?
Oh, that's right. Greg.
Greg.
And I called him Greg through the whole interview.
Barry Williams.
I called him Greg. Greg, well, thanks for coming in. And I've got one with Olivia Newton-John, which didn't go down very well. Do you want to find it? Koshy, this will
make you feel better.
Upset to you. I was interviewing Olivia Newton-John and Kanicki, who was her brother-in-law, was very unwell in hospital at the time. I had thought he'd
passed away.
You lost a cast member this week, did you, from Greece?
Jeff,
yeah.
I don't know that has he passed away?
Pardon me, I may have gone. He's very unwell.
He was married to my sister, and so she's been in there, and he's not doing very well.
Okay, sorry to hear that. In my defence, I was ultimately proved right.
Right.
I was first with the...
You're just early.
Did you ever have any you'd like back?
So many. I remember interviewing Cadell Evans after he won the Tour de France on the Champs-Élysées, Arc de Triomphe behind him, medal round his neck. I said, mate, how do you feel? And he goes, how do you think I feel? cut me down. Kramer. Michael Richards.
He's a bit of a wanker.
Was that before or after his incident?
That was before the incident. He came in a white bathrobe. We thought, oh, he's coming. It was
character,
Kramer.
Yeah.
So we started asking him questions like Kramer, and he answered like Michael Richards. And we thought, oh, this is strange, but he's really serious like Michael Richards and a bit off the planet. So we asked him a serious Michael Richards question, and he answered as Kramer.
Oh,
and this went the entire interview at the end of it. I'm going, I have no freaking idea what went on then. So it was...
Well, it's kind of like meeting your idols. Like, I know about 5 or 10 years ago, we were in here doing Brekkie Radio, and we heard Marky Wahlberg was coming in. My name's Mark. And he must have been doing the rounds, because he came in, didn't want to be here. You could tell he wouldn't want to be here. Yeah. And his right hand was bandaged, so he couldn't shake hands. Was as dull as, you know, a donut. And just when I thought, from that day on, it made me think of him differently.
Harrison Ford's like that.
Okay.
The grumpiest bloke I've ever interviewed in my life. They get paid millions of dollars for doing a movie, and then part of that is promoting it and coming to talking to people like us.
Yes.
And they just don't want it.
We're getting to it.
Halfway through the interview, I said to him, mate, obviously you don't want to be here, so let's not waste your time or the viewers' time. Thanks for coming in.
Good on you.
And I thought,
call him out. Justin. Now, where have they sent you? You mentioned you've been to the Champs-Élysées. You've been to places. Have you been? Where are the places that they've sent you over the journey that you really loved?
Well, we did 5 countries in 5 days. That was great. So Dubai, London, New York, Niagara Falls, Cancun.
Wow.
Ended up in Cancun and the after party on the weekend was a place called Coco Bongo. Well, have you ever? Well, for an old bloke like me, my eyes were well. People coming out of the ceilings, and obviously no fire regulations because it was heated with people drinking tequila out of the bottle. So that was
fun. As you said, great opportunities, a great chapter of your life. For your last episode, are you going to put the cash cow down? Would that be a good way to go out?
I wonder if the cash cow will be a special guest. I have no idea what they're planning on Friday.
They've never seen Barrett's and the cash cow in the same room. That's all I can say.
Well, because they'd fight for the food.
Friday's the day. There's going to be tears. You're going to lose it.
I do cry at sound of music.
So do I.
I'm an emotional sort of bloke. So The kids and the grandkids are betting how long it will take before I shed.
What about this new bloke, this Shervington?
Shervo.
What do you make of him? These are big shoes to fill, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
He's the full package. And he has got everything.
Has he?
He will be a great fit. He's a good bloke, great values, good sense of humour. And he's been a part of the family for quite a while.
They're going to miss you, bro. They're going to miss your...
And will you be giving him yodel-like advice? Yeah. Can he call you up, like, Obi-Wan?
On the crotch phone.
We're having lunch today, so...
Oh, nice.
Pass on, and then, I'll just leave a little envelope in the drawer as they go, like the president's
like a passing president?
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be great. Congratulations.
Thank you, mate.
And well done to you. Yeah, it's been fantastic. What next?
I've got a little footy club to look after.
Trying to go and terrorise Ken Hinckley, are you? Is that the play?
No, it's going very well. Get a headline out of me for football.
Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you for swinging by today. Cheers, mate. We were just speaking to Koshy, and it was interesting when he got talking about Harrison Ford.
Yes.
And he said, I love it when guys are leaving the building on the way out.
He started unloading it, didn't he?
You can kick someone in the pills just to cop that.
He goes, by the way, Harrison Ford wasn't a good bloke to me.
Wasn't a good bloke. We said, who let you down? Mm. Harrison Ford, grumpy. I get that. I hear that a lot.
Yep.
Who you went, Marky Mark.
Mark Wahlberg was underwhelming. Yep.
I like the idea that you're maintaining he had his right hand strapped up so he didn't have to shake anyone's hands.
Oh. I reckon he's been doing it for the last couple of days, and he said, you know what, I'm going to do something here, because we said, what's wrong? He goes, just a bit of ligament damage, No, there's not. There's nothing wrong with it.
There's nothing wrong with that. You don't want to shake my hand, you poncy.
And the next day we had
Hollywood jerk.
The same day, about 3 hours later, we had Channing Tatum.
Oh, yes.
And Jonah Hill. And Jonah Hill, and they were awesome.
Magic Mick, they call me.
Magic Mick.
Have you seen my movie? It's a little too racy for some. I reckon Shervo's big downstairs.
What do you see? Magic Mick. The kickstand.
By the way, we might at some stage before the end of the show get around to the dietitian who reckons how men can add inches to their penis. I've got a couple up my sleeve. According to his theory,
it's not eating cheese and ham croissants, that's what's for sure.
All right, let's get back on the job. We want to know, who have you met who's been a hero that's been disappointing to you? 133353. What about you, Tash?
Let me down. I acted like
Seinfeld.
An idiot. No.
Seinfeld, when he hit on you.
Why wouldn't he?
He saw you reading news. You go, who is that woman?
I want to introduce you, and you went on a date. Did he touch you inappropriately?
No, he did not.
But then he was yawning and you weren't, so he goes, aha, serial killer.
What? I did meet Tom Cruise.
You met Tom Cruise and you didn't like him.
No, I loved him.
That's not what we're doing.
That's the opposite of the topic.
That's not what we're talking
tell
about.
Tell us who told us in the outbreak that you didn't like.
That's not true.
Who did you not like?
I haven't met anyone that's disappointed.
You are a
liar. Dennis Rodman.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I know. I was so excited and he was not receptive to anyone in that room.
Mm. That's okay. Gene Simmons for me. I was a huge Kiss fan. I loved Kiss. As I said, I got beaten up riding through Mount Eliza on my bike wearing Gene Simmons makeup from Kiss. That's what a fan I was. Told my mum I had no mother when she wouldn't let me go to the concert. Finally met him on the set of the panel, and we do a show together, and I've never met a bigger dickhead.
Yeah.
He's a real trumper. He's a real right-wing America.
Yeah.
And he talked down to everyone like he knew way more than them. And I walked home. I went home, and I felt sick.
Yeah.
I can't believe I spent so much of my life idolizing that dead set dropkick loser. 133353, when we get back, who do you meet? Who let you down? This will be fun.
Let's lay in.
I tell you who would never let you down, Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters.
I've got a
double pass to give away to my favourite caller Fighters in December.
Come on, 133353, the best caller, get some. Bye-bye.
Ross, who do you meet? Who's an idol you met and was a bit of a dick?
Morning, guys. Mark Scape, absolutely massive HRT fan.
I won't hear that. I know Mark Scaife. He's a lovely bloke. Why would you turn on Mark Scaife? What did he do to you?
Well, went up to him to get his autograph, massive fan, and he was just a complete arsehole. Just
Now, just so we're clear, I put you to air because it says on my board, Peter Brock. So have I been set up?
Well, I've got a Peter Brock story as well, too.
Oh, go for it. Unwind on all of them.
I went to Oran Park and Peter Brock and his wife were walking around and I said g'day to him while we were sharing a urinal together.
I can understand him not enjoying that experience.
Well, all I wanted was his photo after we finished in the bathroom, but yeah. I don't know if he's...
That's on you, Ross.
Your eyes contact. You got to have in a urinal. You got to have eye contact, not slug contact.
I'm up for a selfie, not at the urinal. Do you know that has happened to me? I've been standing at a urinal where someone's come and put their arm around me and got the camera out the front.
No.
I swear to you.
Yeah, same.
It's the only time, may I say, I've ever been punchy with in regards to a selfie.
Yeah, it's not my
That's
first.
Not okay. We got blindsided there. Mark Scafies are wonderful.
Yeah. I know Scafies.
I know Scafies.
Yeah.
That guy's off his gourd. Daniel. Daniel, who did you meet who was disappointing?
Good morning, boys. William Shatner.
Not the William Shatner, Star Trek's Shatner.
Star Trekking.
Yeah, what happened? Big fan. Met him at a Comic-Con a few years ago. He was doing a meet and greet. He had to pay for it. I think it was like 50 or 100 bucks from memory.
And
I was a big fan, you know, Captain Kirk, T.J. Hooker, but in particular, Danny Craig from Boston Legal.
T.J. Hooker.
Yeah.
All right, have we got any William Shatner there that we can play?
And I think it's going to be a long, long time. Till touchdown brings me around again to find...
I'm not the man I think you am at all.
No.
I'm a rocket man. All right, one of the best of the business. I can listen to William Shatner all day. I think we'll go one more. Got time for one more. Brendan. He's on the line. Brendan, who did you meet? He's a bit of a wanker.
Yeah, it was Cadell Evans. I was working at the 2000 Olympics, and he was doing the mountain bike event. And it was the only chance, my only opportunity to meet my hero. He's my absolute hero. And after his press conference, he walked straight past me. I looked him in the eye. I put my hand out to shake his hand. And I was hopefully going to get an autograph. And I said, mate, you're an absolute legend. I'm so thrilled to meet you. And he just looked at me and scoffed and brushed my hand away. And he says, I'm not shaking anyone's hand or signing anyone's autographs or anything.
Wow.
And I was just like, you absolute tosser.
Yeah, but can I say, most bicycle riders. Yeah. If you had to ask me, if there's a group of people you can put under one umbrella and not be in danger of generalising, yeah, bike riders. Hey, I think we've got time for one more. Adam. Adam's on the line. Adam, who'd you meet? He turned out to be a prize arsehole.
Well, it was my father had got me a job at working at Penrith Stadium. And I was only 17. I was a little metalhead, so I knew nothing about football whatsoever. It's my first day on the job, so I'm not impressed when I follow the rules, do exactly how they tell me what to do it. Check all the IDs, even the players.
Yeah.
Anyway, in comes Mr. Mark Geyer, and he comes through and he doesn't have his ID. So I got no ID who the bloke is. I'm a little metalhead. I asked for his ID. I said, I can't let you in. He then goes off. He's nut. Do you know who I am? Do you know who this is?
Okay,
I am Mark Geyer.
What year was this, Ed?
This is, I think it's probably your grand final, 96, 97.
Mate, I was in Perth, you wanker. See you, mate.
MG's Sport Report. 4 and 20. We've been there for it all. Australia's original fan food.
Massive news from the world of golf. Fire away, big fella.
Yeah, LIV Golf and PGA Tour unite in a bombshell merger that blindsides the golf world. The PGA Tour has merged their commercial operations with the Saudi-backed LIV Golf and ended all litigation, bringing to a close the sport's bitter 2-year rift. Can you believe this?
This is unbelievable. I thought this was probably going to take most of our lifetime, but obviously they've worked out commercially it's the only viable way to move forward. They've split it down the middle. And I think Koepka, who's from the LIV tournament, won the last major. Yep. I think they thought the LIV guys were going to go quietly. They've all had to sit down at the table, break bread, and get a result. And I just wonder what kind of problems this is going to cause.
So you said something about when I first put this on our desk, you said this something must have happened behind closed doors, and I think you're right in the money. I think the Saudis had said to the guys who were in the PGA Tour and stood firm for 2 years, we'll give you exactly what we gave them.
Well, they're going to have to. Otherwise, you've rewarded the LIV guys who have gone away and taken big coin, and then you've got those who stayed staunch to PGA.
Yep.
You'd have your nose out of joint if the blokes have copped $140 million and now work them back into the fold, and you go, well, I could have taken that money. Surely there's some kind of agreement, or the PGA will match, or LIV will have to match.
One thing is for sure and certain.
The money that was paid out to the LIV guys.
Yeah, the one thing is for sure and certain, if you're listening to this to us right now, get your kids into golf.
Get your kids
into golf.
My boys are swinging clubs. When I go to the driving range, my boys are 10. They've got about an hour before they start hitting them at each other.
That's good, an hour.
That's good. An hour will take. Hopefully they'll be on the circuit one day.
Yeah.
And we've been joined live in the studio on loan from the Chaser. It's Dom Knight. How are you, Dom?
Good morning. I can't believe none of you got your VR goggles on. What's going on? Well, I'm going to show them over with the times.
Mick, also an author. I saw your column this morning in the Herald.
Oh, thanks, mate.
Yes, in the Sydney Morning Herald about this very topic, the Apple headset.
Yes, the Vision Pro.
Is this a bold new frontier? Is it bullshit? What is it?
I think it's sort of halfway between the two. Have you ever thought to yourself, I wish I wore ski goggles indoors? That's what this product is. And it's not just that. It's ski goggles with a cable sitting off the side.
Yeah.
This thing costs $5,500 or so. Guess how long the battery pack lasts for? It's a separate battery pack
minutes.
In your pocket. It's two hours, less than any movie. So they showed in the demo people wearing this thing on the plane, so you feel like you're not on the plane anymore. You're on the lake or something. But then halfway through the movie, the battery gives out. So you're kind of looking, you're sitting there in goggles. You look part killer cyborg, part kind of ski instructor on a drip. But it's quite fun to use. The way it works.
So what does it do? What's it bringing to the table that's not already
there?
So
the new thing that's not there is you're in the room like this one. Let's say you're sitting there, you want to have your computer screen floating in midair, your text next to it. That's how it works. You can basically conjure up a screen in thin air.
Can you see the room as well, or is the room obliterated by?
You can choose. There's actually a knob, so you can dial up as much reality as you want. So if I'm talking to you, Mick, right now across the room, I can have a screen next to you, or I can do a dial and you and Mick both disappear and I'm on some beautiful lake. But when the presentation said it's like a virtual screen completely private to you, you know what I thought of?
Yeah.
They finally solved porn at work. Oh,
yeah, exactly.
I could be sitting here talking to you guys, and over in the corner, something extremely disturbing is going on.
So if you're sitting there talking to me and at the same time cracking a stiffy, I'm getting very alarmed for
a number of reasons,
Dom. But what about, they're saying to me that it's like three-dimensional. Is it operated by your eye? So your eye can move or change
it tracks your eyes and whatever you're looking at. It can tell. So it's basically stalking you in a sense. But the 3D thing is complete. This is the really bizarre part of it, right? It's got a 3D camera in the goggles. So their pitch is that you can take these amazing 3D images of, let's say, your daughter's birthday and then relive that moment over and over again. You know, like Tom Cruise in Minority Report when his family's dead and he's going,
Groundhog Day.
Exactly. But the crazy thing is, in order to take that video, and they showed this in the demonstration, the little girl's cutting the cake. And the dad sitting in the corner looking like a dork wearing goggles at his daughter's birthday party, watching it through a screen. So no one's going to do that.
Oh, man.
We've seen people line up for 2 hours, 10 hours, 2 days for an Apple phone. Are they doing it for this? Is the pre-orders already?
No, it's not out till next year. It's not really clear how many people will actually buy this thing because it's $5,500.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. Mm.
And let's face it, you can watch porn on an iPad.
But you know what, bud? There is Appleoids, isn't there? There's these guys and girls who are just addicted to Apple products.
Yes, I'm one of them. I don't mind it.
It's been 10 years since one's come out.
They've got finally a new product at last. But the genius of it is, what it can do is it can scan your face in 3D, right? You hold it up to your face. It builds a kind of like an avatar of you. So it's a virtual version of you to be part of video chats. And what that means is you're sitting there having a video chat with the goggles on, but the person you're talking to sees you without a goggle. Yeah. So they've built the goggles, but they know that they look ridiculous. So they've figured out a way to show you not wearing it.
Yeah. It's got a whiff of the metaverse about it for me, which was, is that still a thing?
I don't know if it is, but I'll tell you what, the potential for this show is amazing. I could be sitting down, having breakfast with virtual Mick, virtual MG. You'd have to keep your clothes on though, Mick.
I can't guarantee
that. No, you can't guarantee that. You know you can't.
When I was a boy, I was always promised that these 3D glasses would be available and it'll transport you magically into another world that's not the one you're standing in, a.k.a. your living room. Do they do this?
I think they do. I think they will actually. There's footage of, for instance, watching The Mandalorian. It looks like you're on some sort of Star Wars planet. So it'll let nerds get very deep on this sort of stuff. But one of the things that was really interesting in the demo was they showed how you might use it for sport. They're actually going to partner with ESPN to bring some kind of gridiron stuff going on. So imagine you're watching a big TV. The stats are off to one side. You pretend you care about the stats. But what I'm imagining is in Origin, imagine that. It's like you're on the sideline watching the Blues lose, and then you feel like you're part of the biff. Yes. That's what I want. I want to be immersed. I want to feel like I'm MG getting the punch on with Wally Lewis.
Are you sure you want that, Dom?
No. I want to feel like I am, and I'm sitting on the lounge room.
In the ad break, we'll go through it. I'll give you
a sample. But, I mean, I'm imagining how far we can take this thing. Can it give me a Mad Monday experience in the VR headset? What worries me, though, this 3D videos, those bubbling videos that the players do, they're going to be quite disgusting.
Come on, man.
Well, you'll need a snorkel. Now, you come to us in tough times.
Yes.
The cost of living's gone up again.
It's brutal.
The price of money has gone up again. Philip Lowe has done it for the 11th time. What do you make of this for your ordinary Sydney cider?
Yeah, well, the idea that we've all got to move in together. I mean, I actually sleep under the desk here these days, guys. That's always it again.
That's a polycule, isn't it?
That's right.
Night, John boy.
It's got to be done. But,
night, MG.
Either that or I get MG to adopt me. I mean, you've already got how many kids? What's one more in their 40s?
You just slip in there.
Come to my house.
Avoid the head count in the morning.
That'd be good. But I got to say, I started thinking about my costs and I spent a lot of money on coffee. I mean, what is wrong with the international roast? It's international.
I love the international
roast. It's been around. I think I want to start a cafe, and I think this would go crazy.
Yeah.
50 cents for instant, mix it yourself.
Yep.
And the only kind of tea we have is just tea.
Yeah.
Like, what's with the Earl Grey and your peppermint? What about it? Just a bushel's tea, no varieties, tea, and 50 cents.
You could say bushels. I'm a Lipton's man.
You're a Lipton's man.
I'm a Lipton's man. Well, always Lipton's have been, always will bushel. Be.
We'll keep the Lipton under the counter for you.
But the international roast, whatever. There was a time in this country where
that was it.
Instant coffee was it.
Yep. That was it.
The first time someone tried to barista me up. I mean,
this is full of milk.
What the hell?
What do you mean there's beans involved? I thought there was some sort of powder from the factory. Plus, why are we smashing avocados when you can smash tin beetroot? I mean, that's the way to go.
Call me old-fashioned, but whatever happened to the pineapple ring?
Yeah.
The pineapple ring.
Very underrated.
Sweetie, a ham steak, a little ham.
Yeah.
Ham circle.
That's right.
You know just a knob of Devon will do me.
A knob of Devon. Now, I've heard that about you, Mick.
A bit of sauce.
This would be a good series for MasterChef. Cooking for the New World Order.
Yes.
Cooking for students.
For $1.
Cooking for Armageddon.
$1 a day.
Yes, the rice with soy sauce. That's what we used to do back in my share house. There you go. But also, I mean, I spend all this money on a smartphone. What about one of those snake phones, Nokia 5110? Yep. That was a better phone than the phone we got now. And my other
it's
probably worth a lot, isn't it?
And the flick.
The rule we're going to have at our place is no Netflix. We're going to cancel Netflix, no Netflix. We've watched every VHS I've got in the garage.
Oh, I'll take a few years.
Brutal. Well done again. Thank you for coming in, Dom Knight. Chase, what's the podcast doing this week?
Oh, we've got a review, actually. Well, our thoughts on the new headset today on the Chaser Report.
Fantastic.
So check it out.
Chaser Report. It's a beauty. Get involved. Thanks again, Dom Knight.
Dommy.
Thank you, gentlemen.
MG Sport Report. 4 and 20. We've been there for it all. Australia's original fan food.
Time for sport. What do we got?
We have got tonight starting the World Test Championship of Cricket. Kicks off tonight, Aussie time, about 7:30.
Australia versus India.
Australia versus India.
Here we go. In Lords.
Yeah.
Is it Lords?
Yeah, so it's the second time it's happened, Mickey. Every 2 years, the top qualifying test nations will play each other. Last time it was New Zealand who took on India. They beat India. So tonight, Australia, who finished top of the pool, India finished second. Tonight they play the first and the only test match to see who's the best test nation in the world.
What a great opportunity to play India in a test match that's not on a rigged deck in India. Yes. This is your chance to actually do it. And Scotty Boland's got the nod.
Scotty Boland, he beat out Nessa for the third seamer.
Face Scotty Boland.
I was going to say something else.
Oh, I've already been dumped once
You
this
have
morning.
Been dumped today. Yeah, Scotty Boland, you faced him in the
match. I did. And I said to him, I said, mate, I'm okay with a bit of chin music. And he goes, which chin?
That's cheeky.
Can I tell you, I was there on that famous morning at the MCG when he cleaned up the Poms.
Six wickets.
He took 6 wickets in the morning session. But I'll tell you the story. So I was in the Carlton United box. I was a guest of CUB, who've got the beautiful big box right behind the bowler's arm. And we're watching these wickets fall. And there's some two and over. They're going down. But anyway, once it's all over, he's cleaned them up in the first session. Someone comes past and goes, everyone need to be out of the suites in half an hour. The rule is half an hour after close of play, all the suites shut. Now, some people have flown in from around Australia to be there. We're all sitting there. We've got our drinking boots on. We've been planning this for weeks. It's day three of the Boxing Day test. You think you're okay, right? So they come round and go, that's it. Everyone out in half an hour. It's before lunch.
Oh.
I said, no one leaves this box, right?
Lock
and
the doors.
And they came round and we held that box in a siege situation till midway through the third session. Yeah. And they all went, do you know who we are? I had the head of CUB on the phone to the head of Cricket Australia with our list of demands. No one's getting out of here. I was trying to break Booney's record in one session.
Yeah, you're close. Darling,
you parenting.
Yes, you sure do. Shocking moments as a mum hands over a baby so she can join a wild all-girl brawl. Oh, I want to see this. Inside a busy Woolworths supermarket, claims thrown around like you stupid dog. At the Tamworth East Point, New South Wales Woolworths, we've got some audio of the incident. So there's a kid involved in the middle of that fight. One of the women involved palms the kid off.
To a bystander. Hold my kid while I get in this fight.
That's throwing haymakers all in aisle five, I believe it was.
Clean up in aisle five and six.
Clean up in aisle five. Woolworths, Tamworth, it's all happening. That right there is bad parenting.
Yes.
Reminds me of the neighbourly dispute last week over a fence where, once again, a child was caught up in the thick of it. You can hear him asking for a treat at the very end of this kerfuffle.
Oh, I want it. Yeah, you can't even have a decent conversation.
Can I have another cream and soda?
What is going on out there in the burbs? Mum's gone wild. Kids in the middle of it. That's bad parenting.
Yes.
1-3-3-5-3. Do you have an instant of bad parenting? Natasha Belling joins us.
You come straight to me?
Yes.
Well, we remember one of your boys was on the roof naked, wasn't he, at one stage?
It was only once.
You were underwear over his head.
And called me Karen. I had once my youngest had been to playing footy and he came home and said, Mum, I think I've broken my finger. Mm. And I had my older kid's birthday party on. And I said, look, mate, I haven't got time for hospital at the moment. Just go and ice it. In my day,
it's only a finger.
Walk it off.
Yeah.
I used to play netball, break my fingers all the time. Oh, so you need just to walk it off and calm down. So then he woke up the next morning and it was swollen and I took him to emergency and he'd broken it in two places.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's bad parenting. Terrible parenting. Right there.
Yeah.
You know, I told you my boys when they were younger, I trained them in the park. If there was a good-looking woman there, I would go, okay, boys. They would run up and go, my daddy's lonely. And I would go, hey.
Oh, yeah.
And then I would come up and go, sorry about my that. The boys, just a little.
My daddy's lonely. Did it work?
Okay.
Hug it.
Better than cavoodles.
And cheaper.
And cheaper. Now, what happened to you?
Well, I used to be in my house, I used to be called Mark Barber. Because I used to cut the boys' hair back in the day.
Oh, you cut?
Yeah, I'd cut their hair and say, look, I'll give it a little fade and I'll blend it in with your hair.
That's
and
what you get today.
Just so I just got bzzz, the four all over. They go, Dad, what have you done to my hair?
And then they learn to look after themselves in the schoolyard.
There we go.
Pretty much like a boy named Sue.
There we go.
Yeah,
what do you do?
133353, bad parenting. Are you a bad parent? Max, what's the story, please?
Mate, I had my daughter for the weekend. Oh, first of all, love your show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I had my daughter there. She said, Dad, can I go up and get an ice cream? She's only 8 at the time. So off she went with a girlfriend on a push bike. Remember the old school garden days when they put the bricks on edge in the garden?
Yes.
Yeah, well, she came a cropper and fell off and landed on that. And anyway, she come home, she goes, Dad, I crashed and all that sort of stuff. And had a look at her wrist and I squeezed Dad's finger. And I said, oh, it's all right. And I put a little bit of an ice pack on it.
Yep.
The next day, I had to take her back to Wyong to her mum, and I took her back. And then on the way home, her mum rang me out and said, what's wrong with Casey? And I said, what do you mean? She goes, she turned grey. She took her to the doctors, and she found 6 green stick fractures in her wrist.
Oh, there you go. Maxie.
Well,
Maxie.
I love it. Thanks for the call, Max. You're going to have to pick a winner here, too, for Maxie's. The Foo Fighters tickets. Chris is on the line. Chris, story, please.
My younger son was at a primary athletics carnival. And he rocks on up afterwards and just says, look, I got a bit of a sore back. And he told us he was doing the high jump and he's gone over the bar, landed on the bar, which was a lovely, nice, thick metal bar at the time.
I know those ones.
So we thought, oh, he's just a bit of a bruising in the back. So my wife and I just said, look, shake it off. Went to soccer over the weekend. He was a little bit tender. About 2 weeks later, he's still in pain. So we thought we'd take him to the hospital, get an x-ray. Got a cracked vertebra.
Oh, yes, that's bad parenting. Right, Chris. The old cracked vertebra, eh? You are the clubhouse leader as we speak. Kim's on the line. Kim, bad parenting, what'd you do?
My 10-year-old daughter had to have 4 6-year-old molars pulled out and the dentist wanted to do it under a general anaesthetic and it was going to cost $2,000 and I told her that we couldn't afford it, so I'd give her $200 if she had it done in the chair.
Well done, Kim. That's the way. It's a win-win. Your daughter's getting $200 cash in hand.
You're saving $1,800.
And you're saving $1,800. I'm telling you, I'm not convinced that's bad parenting. Mark's on the line. Mark, bad parenting, please.
G'day, guys. Great show.
Thanks, Muggy.
Yeah, this was my firstborn son. He was about a year old, and we're driving up to some friends' houses, and he's in the back in the car seat.
Yeah.
And this was in the days of the nappies with the big safety pins to do the nappies up.
I love the big safety pins.
He was whining the whole way up. Then we're going, don't worry, mate, it'll be all right. And when we got up to our friends, we realised we had to change the nappy. The thing had sprung open, so that pin had been sticking in his guts the whole way. And we're going, oh, sorry. Sorry, Jen.
Now he's nicknamed his pin guts.
I know he's only 8 months old, but harden up, little fella. Come on. Could get worse. Mel's on the line. Mel, bad parenting, please.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I took my five and three-year-old down to Bunnings.
Yeah.
And my five-year-old boy was being a bit difficult, so I chucked him on the bottom part of the trolley and my daughter in the seat. And then for some reason, the trolley just wouldn't move, so I gave it a good shove.
Oi.
And then I heard him scream, and he'd had his finger in the wheel and ripped his finger out.
Mel! Mel! That's a job for community services Mel. Hang about, you're in the running. Jackie's on the line. Jackie, bad parenting, what did you do?
Well, yesterday morning, I was Mother of the Year. I told my son that I'd ordered him lunch, sent him out the door, and, of course, forgot to order his lunch.
So he starved all day?
Oh,
he starved all day.
Jackson.
Oh, buggies, probably have to, go and roll some other kid in the playground.
Give us your
take
apple.
Half a snack pack.
Give me a cheese sandwich.
You know you want it. We can do this easy way or the hard way.
My mum's called Jackie, you know.
All right, let's go to one more. Lisa, of course. Lisa, bad parenting, what'd you do?
Oh, hi, guys. When my kids were very little, my husband and I flew to America and did a trip to Disneyland. We left them at home and we photoshopped them into a Disneyland photo album. So they think they went to Disneyland.
Yeah, you. Hey, Lisa, You're off to see the Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters. Two tickets to the Foo Fighters for Lisa.
Take your kids.
Make sure they get a photo of themselves there.
Wow.
As we know, overnight, Harry.
Yes.
Prince Harry, for the first time in 130 years, a royal has been cross-examined in the witness box in an English court. Wow, what a situation it was. 5 hours he spent, and I particularly loved the bit where he was cross-examined on his own todger.
Yes.
His frostbite.
My penis was oscillating into an extremely sensitive and borderline traumatised.
Order, order!
The last place I wanted to be was Frosnetistan. I'd been trying some home remedies, including one recommended by a friend. She'd urged me to apply Elizabeth Arden cream.
It's enough audio.
My mum used that on her lips. You want me to put that on my todger?
Objection, Your Honor!
Trust me, I found the tube, and the minute I opened it, the smell transported me through time. I felt as if my mother was right there in the room, and I took a smidge and applied it down there.
Getting out of here.
Well, I mean, you can tell it. Brutal testimony in cross-examination. While we're on the subjects of todgers, would you like to do your joke that you just did to me?
Come on.
Come on. This is Dad Joke of the Day. By the way, this is going to be a new segment, MG's Dad Joke of the Day, because you do them off air, but it's time to do them on air. Now, have a buckle up, everyone.
Okay, have you got the kids in car block? There is.
Ah, this is fine.
Okay, the medical terminology. Do you know what the medical terminology for Viagra is?
No, what's the medical term for Viagra?
My cocks are flopping.
Mick and MG in the morning, weekdays from 6 on Sydney's Triple M.